Hello, listeners. If you like this show, please go to iTunes and subscribe. Rate and review our show. Thanks.
We've got two awesome sponsors, including Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions, in case your tractor hits a cow. It's a TagCast podcast.
Wait.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Can I be getting paid for this, boys?
The TagCast podcast starts right now.
Those about to cast, we salute you.
Salute!
You're fucking stuffed.
Man, I'm more stuffed than that fantastic pizza we just had. The Pizza Now.
They were out of meatballs, but whatever. Thank you. Do it now. You should be the new singer for AC/DC.
Yeah.
I can't do that. You're there already. You look like the guy from Metallica and Suicidal.
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't played any, I don't think ever, maybe once, AC/DC at the beginning, but we're giving you a 21-gun salute today.
Heck yeah.
Because it's the 21st episode.
Yeah, and for those about to turn 21... Why not salute you?
Salute.
Salute.
Terry Gatz Comedy Show coming at you.
Live.
Dead. I said dead when you said live.
Yep.
We're recording this live right now.
Yeah.
I'm talking currently.
Mm-hmm.
We're here. I'm drinking some Mountain Dew out of an Aquafina cup and bottle, and it kind of looks pee like.
It does.
It looks pee-ish, like you ate too many vitamins.
Within the... I think it's the blue.
Ooh, that is. It's giving it a greenish color.
It is. It's giving a little bit of a greenish tint to it. The Aquafina blue. Is that an official color, or is that a different kind of blue that they... Is it a stock blue they used, or is it an Aquafina blue?
It's a Major League Baseball blue.
Oh, wow.
Official water of the MLB.
I don't think so, because
what?
I think they...
What?
Yeah, because I think they water their fields, probably not with Aquafina.
Oh, I
water.
Saw them out there. They poke little holes in the woods, and they're just like...
And they lasso it and sprinkle it around.
Exactly. Well, just the Cowboys. Oh, wait, the Indians.
You know,
oh,
did you watch any of the All-Star Game celebrations last week? The Home Run Derby?
Totally, dude. I watched all of those. I watched the Bat Boy Derby and the Home Run Derby and the... Strike three, you're out, derby.
Those are all things.
I didn't ever watch any of that shit.
No, it was last week. I didn't watch it either. Yeah.
Good, because really. Sports are dumb.
Yeah. People get excited about that game, though, you know, and...
Baseball?
Certainly.
Why would they get excited about it when it's so boring they have to make a dedicated place? The seventh inning stretch. You have to stand up... And go,
just
God,
get your legs
this
moving.
Is fucking boring. This takes forever. This might as well watch a golf tournament. I wouldn't be stuck in a fucking bleacher.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And then you're overtime, 11th inning. Fucking, oh, where's the 12th inning stretch?
And I saw some stats on a baseball game the other day. You know, the average amount of time in a 9-inning game of actual action is about 17 minutes.
I thought you were going to say 7. I don't doubt
so
it because you
17
go,
minutes.
Okay, from the start the clock, pitch, hit the ball, yeah. Run.
Well, the average time between pitches is almost 2 minutes.
Yeah, but the playing time is like 6 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, between the pitches, I mean, and that's if the guy doesn't hit it.
Uh-huh.
Just because, you know, it's a very mental-focused game. I mean, you're trying to throw, you know, it's...
He's giving you the peace...
It's the pitcher versus the batter.
He's giving you the peace sign right next to his nuts, the catcher, and he's like, no. Okay, how about jacking off the side? No. How about metal up my ass? No? Okay, fastball. Okay.
I saw the other day one of the first catcher's gears, and what it was you wore a box in front of you that had a cage, and the ball would come into the cage, hit your chest, and then fall through a hole in the bottom where you'd field it.
Wow, I bet you really feel it when it hits you.
Yeah.
Man, I feel that one. That's weird. Well, I did not watch any baseball.
Right on.
What did I do? I didn't watch any sports either. Oh, God, I'm delirious, dude. That pizza was wonderful. I loved it.
You're
pizza
crying
now,
out of your nose a little
by
bit.
The way, they now have a punch card down there at Pizza Now.
Oh, they've had them.
Well, it's now advertised on the till.
Yeah, then now they
check
have.
It out. Pizza Now has a punch card that says, don't strike out, get punched out.
Bam!
Maybe that's because baseball's going on right now.
Maybe, yeah.
Because it was like a replaceable thing, so we were trying to think of all the phrases we could think of. Don't get drugged out. Get punched out.
Yeah.
Don't
ground out to the pitcher.
Oh, wait. Don't blank out. Don't fag out.
I don't know if it said that.
No, I'm just...
Yeah, you're just coming up with different ideas.
Don't brown out.
Don't brown out. Don't rolling brown out.
And don't black out.
Mm-hmm.
Get punched out.
Yeah.
Before you get drunk, because...
Don't juice out.
Juice out?
Yeah, like punch and juice.
What? Like, oh, punch, juice, gotcha. Don't high C out.
Yeah. Hawaiian punch out.
Yeah. Oh. So, yeah, you go down there, get a punch on your card every time you buy a pizza.
That's counting $5 pizzas. You know, I went there and you only get one punch even for how many ever pizzas, one per visit.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, it's, I think, 9 or 10 pizzas and you get one free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I've turned a few in. I don't really, I always forget to get them punched in.
It's hard to remember with the punch card unless the staff is courteous enough to always ask, do you have a punch card? Say, yeah, I forgot it. Well, here, let's start you a new one.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've got 17 cards with one punch. Can I turn in 10 of them?
No, I'm going to make a necklace.
No, you can't do that.
Is that an Egyptian goddess naked on your shirt?
30 seconds on my shirt?
Yeah, is
that Isis? I
haven't
done that for a while. This is a shirt that I received as a prize at a raffle from one of the Willamette Valley local music fundraisers. It's a local artist. I don't know exactly what it is. It's not a band. It's not... It looks... You can see a great...
Now that I'm looking at it, yeah.
It's a side boob.
It doesn't look as Egyptian, except for in the head.
Yeah, it kind of looks like an Egyptian head
kind of a thing.
With a weird, long, spiky hairdo.
Is your nipples pierced?
Yes. Well, at least the one that we can see is, because it's a side boob.
Maybe she only has one.
Check out her triceps, dude. She's fucking cut.
Damn.
And then she's got, like, scales on her forearm. She's got a pointed tail.
She got like really hurt her, like, get back armed by her.
She's got super long legs, which would allude to the fact that maybe she had high heels on. Nope. Flat shoes.
Wow.
Trippy, huh? And then there's some weird mausoleum or a mosque or something.
That's a big band.
Yeah.
With a weather vane on top.
So that was probably more than 30 seconds, but we haven't done that for a while.
30
seconds on my shirt.
Yeah.
And it is Friday, folks. Thanks for listening on a Friday. Still got that hot weather kicking around. It's not too unbearably hot, but it is warm. If you're in the Portland area tonight, as any Friday for the next couple months at least, go to the Baghdad and check out the comedy shows down there every Friday. It's only going to be happening, I think, the last time ever is September 18th.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to get in there on August 30th, and I just love performing there, and I'm sad about it. It's been going on since 2006. That's 7 years, actually. I thought it was six. Almost 7 years every Friday with a couple, you know, maybe last-minute cancellations where they, like when they canceled the show that I drove all the way up there to be on, and then they were going to play The Hunger Games.
And then, it was that movie, huh?
That's why I don't want to watch it. I forgot to tell you. Fucking hate that movie.
Wow.
No, it's okay. We had a good time.
No, I just, I hadn't put it together. I remember now that you said it was it being a popular movie or whatever, but
yeah, and
you haven't watched it?
No, I haven't. I was going to, and then my internet got cut off.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting for the neighbors to hook up their wireless, so maybe I can take advantage of the new neighbors. Not only did they give us several things. Oh, Mike took his little studio speakers because he's a crazy kid. He buys stuff and then he wants to sell it. And then if he can get the money, he'll sell it and then he'll buy something else. Or So he got these studio monitors for mixing his beats and they're pretty cool. They've got some kind of little amp in them. You can plug an MP3, like a headphone jack into it.
It's got a power amp.
It's got a volume and a bass control and all that stuff. So they kind of work as a little stereo for whatever. So we tried to sell those, and they were trying to sell this little PA that's about probably 12 inches across and maybe 3.5-4 inches, just a little unit, maybe 8 inches deep. And he said, we used to use it for calling ball games and whatnot. They used to call ball games.
Mm-hmm.
But it has like 4 inputs and probably a little amp, probably maybe 50-100 watts just for – it'd be great for comedy shows. So they didn't sell that, ended up giving it to Mike, so – I kind of have that now, too, because, well, until he moves or whatever, I probably use it anytime I want. It's just so compact. It's just like, it's not very big at all. It's not like lugging a PA head around.
You can put it in your pocket.
Basically, if I had some big pockets
or
overalls with a big front pocket, maybe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Baghdad Theater closing. Not closing, but they're closing their doors to comedy, and I'm kind of sad about that.
Right over next to the Library of Alexandria, right?
Yep. And
it's
some
burnt down, I think.
Some
it?
People are, the comics are kind of going through their stages of loss of, you know, anger, denial. They're like, why is Ian Carmel's moving? Mm-hmm. A lot of the other comics are moving. Who else just moved?
George Jefferson.
Yeah, he moved on up. But yeah. Oh yeah, that reminds me. Speaking of people moving to LA and we haven't talked about him for a while, I had a dream with Ron Funches in it the other night. It was one of those, like, I woke up about 7 and went to the bathroom and then came back to sleep for like 3 more hours, and when I woke up at 10 I had this strange dream. And it was one of those dreams that seemed so real. Ron Funches was living in my house. I never figured out why or anything because the dream wasn't really long enough, but he was like, I don't know. Anyone who's seen Ron Funches and his demeanor on stage with comedy, he kind of acts that way off stage as well. And he was just acting. It was weird. It was so surreal. He was walking around the house and he was cracking jokes and he was like cleaning up. He was like helping out, doing his part.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking my wife, what?
Did he tell you any jokes you remembered? Maybe he's like giving you jokes in your dreams.
A psychic dream joke.
Yeah, a lucid dream. Maybe you should contact him and see if he dreamt about you.
Lucid Funches joke. He was like, I was weird, living this weird long-haired white guy's house. I don't know who he was.
Maybe, dude. You never know.
Yeah, I almost put on his Facebook, I had a dream that you were living in my house. And it was funny because what I remember in the dream mostly was kept fanboying to my wife and saying, Ron Funches lives in our house. Now I've got like a little more cred in the fucking comedy scene probably. Like,
you know
I
what?
Say, it's my roommate, Ron Funches. You know, he's on that NBC show. He's kind of a big deal. But.
Yeah, you know, I recently thought about this and I was saving it for the show to bring up to you, but they say write what you know, right?
Right, what you know.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I thought we should combine, me and you should combine to write something of our two biggest passions lately, and we would call it Funch's Ghost.
Oh, okay. Maybe he has a ghost story.
Maybe.
Funch's Ghost.
So and that, we could maybe
could that be
we
a
could
script?
Turn it into a kid's show, like a show that brings kids okay with death in a comedic way that kind of subliminally.
Funches Ghost.
Funches
it has
Ghost.
A ring to it.
Uh-huh, it does.
Funches Ghost. We might have to get that cleared with him.
Well, he'd be on it, though, right?
Oh.
I mean, the part would be written for him, right?
Well, yeah, we'd have to have
he'd
a budget.
He'd play the part of the ghost, because it would be Funch's ghost.
And he's and black,
he'd,
so
but he'd
be
flowered.
Flowered Funches. Bunches of Funches on Funch's ghost.
Yeah.
Next week,
some great stuff.
Ron Funches tells us about the ghost of his mother, who hasn't even died yet. How weird was that?
That is weird.
Oh, snap. That was going to be... Jim Lauderdale thinks that he wants to change his fair name to Oh Snap.
His fair name's Lodestone, isn't it?
I know, it has been for 21 years. 21 years.
I was actually walking home from the store the other day, and I don't know if he listens or not.
No, he doesn't know how to work a computer.
But
Oh Snap?
I gave him I gave props to you about his plantain joke that
oh,
we heard.
It was
earlier.
Plantain to see.
Yeah, well, that's plantain to see. You're talking about a darker banana brother.
A bigger, taller banana.
Yeah.
It was darker.
Yeah, and it must be a plantain.
It was plantain to see that he was obviously not a bananarchist.
And he was a great deadpan delivery, though, by him.
Yeah.
And,
for
you
sure.
Know,
listen back
how
to the...
did but as I was thinking of that as I was walking home from the store the other day, I thought, how did he get that name Lodestone?
It's a long story, and it happened from way back in the 70s, and I don't know the full story, but he actually has a welcome mat that was taken from a motel called the Lodestone.
Oh, really?
And that's spelled just as you'd think it would be, L-O-A-D S-T-O-N-E.
All right.
It's the
so
Rock.
So it's not like a load runner.
It's like the Rock that carries the load. Like,
oh, so he's the... he's
like an anchor, kind of, or like a foundation.
All right. Well, that's
but
cool.
But it's more
I
of a
he,
loaded and stoned kind of a deal.
That's what I thought. I
it's
thought,
a double entendre.
I thought maybe he's always the... he was always
he's
loading.
He's always loading stone.
Maybe he was load always stone. Loading the stone for everyone.
Now, that will be a goal of mine within the next week or so to contact him. And you know what I was thinking? I almost got him to record a part for me. He can rant about stuff and just talk like you, like Larry King, the old guy, talk. So maybe we could go to Lodestone's house on the 28th when we make our road trip down to,
certainly.
I've also been told that, Second Location Studios for the podcast cast would also be available for our use if we'd like, which is Dylan's upstairs room.
Oh, cool.
So we wouldn't have to find a restaurant or a bar that had a quiet area that they'd probably want us to.
Is that coming up soon?
Yeah. Well, no. July 28th. Yeah, pretty soon.
That's next
week. Yeah, that's next Sunday. You ready for that?
No, not really.
What do you got to be ready for? All you got to do is get...
well, do we have any guests?
We got, who'd I just say? We're going to have Lodestone.
All right. Well,
and
okay.
Mike McGowan. I talked to him, and he said that he should be in Towan.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McGowan, Carmichael McGee, which we were supposed to have him on the show, and he had to cancel. I still have the questions, original questions from almost a year ago that I never got to ask him. Mac Chase would probably be on the show. Chris Castles is still in town. We could get one final interview with him, possibly. Maybe we could go to his house. Maybe we could go to Lodestone's house, get an interview with him. Yeah, but then we'd have to pack up. I don't know. I'll figure it out this week.
All right.
But anything, anyway.
I'll check my finances.
I was talking about something else. I can't remember what it was, though.
Funch's Cas? Funch's Ghost?
No, we'd already gone past
Lodestone that. Carrying the load?
Lodestone. That's what my goal is, to find out the actual original story of where Lodestone came from.
You should get that on tape.
Oh, snap. Maybe we'll do it.
Yeah.
And then he got tired, and I said, you should change your name to O's. Nap.
O's Nap.
I want to take some Z's, get an O's Nap.
So, yeah, and then maybe he could record a pitch for our listeners of why you should change it to O-Snap, and then we
and
could let the listeners to decide.
Yeah, and I think that he should go for the longevity. I'm pondering, this is why it all came up, because I'm pondering changing my name. My fair name has been TG for like 8 years. I'm not really happy with it. Some people used to call me TG quite a bit, mostly in my wife's...
What do you prefer, T?
Most people will call me Terry, but I want to find a name that's like a fair name, like Lodestone, or like a name that's not someone's, like, you know, like
you
a
know,
moniker.
All right, one earlier that came up last week was Galoot.
What?
But I don't think it's like...
Galoot. Yep. And then I thought I was trying to think of something that sounds like TG,
mm-hmm.
but as an actual word, so I was like TG,
TP.
Teach. And I thought, teach. I thought, hey... I fucking impart. About, I impart a lot of wisdom to everyone at the fair every year. They call me Teach, and then Lodestone says, "I knew a Hell's Angel named Teach." I was like, "Well, that's shitty."
What about?
And he goes, and he had both of his legs cut off. And I go, "Well, I'm halfway there." So, but what about
like a Teach or you Tig
Siege
Tig?
No, TG Tag. No, so, and then Lodestone's daughter tried to convince me to change it to Randallsman. Randallsman. Which is a Randy person.
What about?
I found out is not a real word because it's from fucking that game that my wife doesn't like that you bought for us for Christmas.
Balderdash.
Balderdash, yeah, which is also not a word.
Yeah.
Is it?
Maybe,
So, yeah, anybody got any suggestions for my fair name? I like to smoke a lot of pot. I like heavy metal. I like hand drum shit. I'm musically inclined and comedy.
What about 4TO?
You know that's funny?
Terriente.
You know what's funny? My first fair name was Terry 420. And I thought that's kind of stupid. And then I was, the 1 year that I had a name that was a moniker and not a name, I was a scapegoat.
That was your name?
It didn't work out good for me. Yeah, everybody fucking used me for everything. No, they didn't. But yeah, I thought scapegoat would be a good name.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a weird thing.
What about Goat Boy?
I'd be all like, hey, remember the 80s? It's like, all right, this is Lodestone, Goat Boy, you out there? Yeah. That'd be funny. I could make a joke about it. This is Goat Boy. Yeah.
You'd have to really sell it. You sell the commitment to it, though, like for years and years.
You'd be like, Goat Boy, what's your location? I'm on the 8. I'm walking around by Chalamet Meadows. Goat Boy, remember the 80s? Yeah, I remember the 80s. I was young. So the first episode that I want to get with Jim Lauderdale, which might happen this next week.
What about TGO? Terry Guile Overdrive.
BTO. How about TGA? How about a word that's not a name? I'm tired of this TG shit. Anyway, I'm going to ask Jim his thoughts on... We might have touched on it. I think you mentioned it, and I just glossed over it because I hadn't heard of it. Sharknado.
Oh.
Do you know about the Sharknadoes?
I was going to mention it, but I don't think we talked about it.
You heard of it? Else. Did you see it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I know what it is.
You didn't see it? I saw it. It was a tornado of sharks.
I don't get sci-fi.
Oh, is it a movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just saw people making fun of it.
No, it's a sci-fi movie, and it's already been... it just came out, I think, and it's already been...
it's a hot topic.
Well, it's already been signed for a sequel.
Sharknado 2. Mm-hmm. So what happens is a big tornado comes past the ocean and it whips up a bunch of sharks. Mm-hmm. And then there in the tornado, I saw the picture of it. There was huge hammerheads and great white sharks.
And they live?
Oh, they were up there swimming it up in the tornado, in the Sharknado. I didn't see the movie, but it sounds funny. Are Sharknadoes real?
I guess they could be.
Well, maybe one shark. They don't call it Sharksnadoes. So maybe one shark could get whipped up into the... You know, because a shark, if a tornado can whip a car up into the air, it could probably whip a shark up into the air, you'd think. But yeah. Remember you were saying that Detroit was bankrupt?
Yeah.
You know what? They're going to try to sell from the Detroit Arts Institute to raise money?
What?
Howdy doody.
Really?
Yeah. It's a huge, beloved marionette of Howdy Doody. He's got wooden balls. They're going to sell them to try to save themselves, but I think
they probably have so many antique automobiles and prototypes that they could sell.
Detroit, are you kidding me? They probably got the original Edsel.
Chrysler.
Never been driven.
Yeah. And just, what about the Tucker?
And what about all the drugs they sell in the hoods?
Yeah.
Detroit's heavy duty.
What about all the fucking hardcore pawn money?
I wonder what old Tanner, former Donkey Show host out there at the D of Detroit.
Is he related to, first of all, Biff Tanner?
His name's Chad Haney.
Or is he
But his nickname is Tanner. He's a hide Tanner. He'll tan your hide.
Tanner, that was the last name of the Full House people.
Denny Tanner.
Yeah.
Danny Tanner.
Yep.
Danny Dannon.
Yeah, I got a Florida story. Gonna whip your brain.
All right. Whip it up.
A man in Florida.
Wait. A Florida man?
Yep.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah. He was found unconscious 4 months ago in a South California motel.
Okay.
And he was taken to a medical center where he woke up with amnesia, calling himself Johan Eck. And he doesn't remember how to speak English. He can speak Swedish. He can speak Swedish. And he doesn't remember how to use public transportation, doesn't remember how to
Does he look and think American? But he only speaks Swedish?
He's speaking Swedish, yeah.
That's fucking Swede.
Yeah, his sister said they hadn't...
Oh, his sister?
No, his sister said she hadn't seen him in like 10 years.
But when they contacted her, did she say, oh, yeah, he's Swedish, or is he American?
No, he's American.
So he's a regular English-speaking American, but all he speaks is Swedish now.
Yeah, he said they diagnosed him with transient global amnesia, a condition triggered by physical or emotional trauma that can last for several months. Amongst the things, he doesn't remember how to exchange money, take public transportation, or understand English, nor does he recall the existence of his son and two ex-wives.
I think that's a cop-out. I don't remember really.
Yeah, and I
don't really remember having a wife or kids, so I'm sorry that you guys keep bugging me to be your husband and father, but I.
Yeah, he's only speaking Swedish now, and for some reason, all he wants to eat are Swedish fish.
Sweet as fish?
Yeah.
Is that really part of it, or are you making that part of it?
I'm making that.
That's good. I don't like the Swedish fish.
Why not?
Are they crackers?
No, they're just gummies, aren't they?
I don't know.
They're just gummy fish. I'm sure you've had them.
I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
I've eaten gummy. I saw an article about...
They might be a little harder, like the dots or jujubes, which I'm not a big fan of.
I saw an article about gummy stuff and how it's made with a lot of just gross leftover animal fat that's boiled
horse
up.
Horse hooves. Long
time. Yeah, that too. That's why. How do you think they make glue? Glue and gummy worms make horses taste better.
I ruined my niece because she was a vegetarian and she was eating a 5-pound bag of gummy worms. And I said, you know, those are made out of horse hooves. She never ate another gummy worm again.
Good. Good. You saved her. So I was going to mention this story on Wednesday when we had our special guest, Jared Nelson, in the studio. But I remembered we talked enough shit while he was here. I noticed we got into those conversations somehow and there was like a unspoken, uneasy feeling. Because we're talking about shit, and he's in the studio.
Peaceful, uneasy feeling.
So a New Mexico man, possibly related to the Florida
Wait a minute.
Man.
Is he from New Mexico, or is he new to Mexico?
He's from the state of New Mexico in the United States.
He's not a New Mexico man.
So the headline reads, runner defecates at house repeatedly. Resident upset.
Wait a minute. I defecate at my house repeatedly.
Okay, but this is outside of his house. Oh. The man who owns the house has been quoted as saying, "This is malicious fecal distribution." Is that a charge? Okay, now here's the kicker.
Well, malicious.
This New Mexico man has captured security footage of the unidentified woman who keeps defecating next to his house during her morning jogs. I think she's got the poop runs.
Now, what I want to know is why isn't he concerned about her peeing there, too? Because she ain't...
You know that she pees when she poops, because that happens at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, but it's been happening for quite some time. The first incident took place clear back on Easter Sunday.
Oh, that's a great timing.
And at first, he thought it might have just been a passing homeless person. But then...
That happens, right?
Well, in New Mexico, apparently. And then it happened over and over. He says the defecation always happened on a weekend morning.
Oh.
So he put some video surveillance cameras up. And in the video, he explains a young blonde woman runs into the alley behind his house where she drops her pants, lets go, and puts her shorts back up without any wipe. nothing else, and continues her run. Right. If it happens
again. You're going to shower after a run anyway, right?
I guess, but you're going to have to wash your pants too, I guess. So, but you're still, I don't know, maybe she's got super absorbed. Maybe she's got Depends, Colors for Women. I don't know. He said, if it happens again, I'm going to run out there with a hose and hose her down and say, bad human. He said he didn't take the footage to the police because he didn't believe the fecal matter would be taken seriously. Then when he did, the cop said, do you expect us to take this shit seriously? No, I added that last part for comic abilities. Yeah, so, yeah, I wonder if this girl is, like, pissed at him or if it's just, like, this happens to be the place every morning on her run that she's jogged her bowels loose and that morning cup of coffee has finally worked that thickened English muffin down into her poop hole. She's like, oh, this is a perfect place.
Maybe, or maybe, you know, I mean, it's a culture thing. Maybe she likes them.
She's a blonde-haired woman, and she's very slender, you can see in the picture. Mm. She's a jogger.
And what's his complaint? Malicious, why isn't he watching?
Malicious fecal distribution.
Oh, that is his...
That is his complaint.
Well, it's not malicious unless she's trying to do it in a harmful way.
Oh, wait, I think there was a typo. It said delicious
fecal
distribution. Hi-oh! He just wanted it because malicious rhymes with delicious, and maybe someone would accidentally say that. Mm. Crazy world we live in, though. You know, homeless people shit all over the place, but to shit in the same place outside of a guy's house every day or every weekend twice a week, that's kind of malicious.
That's weird.
You know, it's kind of got to be planned.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's an alien.
No, he's got a videotape of it as a woman.
Oh.
That's why he said he was going to run out and say, bad human.
You told me that you heard good things about that Superman movie, right?
Yeah, and I just heard something else that could be considered good or bad the other night when I saw our buddy Seth Milstein. He said he took his son to see it, who's 4 or 6 or 7. Uh-huh. He said it was a little bit darker and a little bit more adult-themed than he had thought that it was going to be. He didn't go into any more detail than that. But
Is he a comic guy?
Big time.
Are you a comic guy, Seth?
No, he is, and he is going... he's fucking stoked right now because there's a ton of movies coming out, and
but
he's going to all of them.
Is he going to be stoked about the next Superman?
With Batman?
Mm-hmm.
I heard about that. I don't know. I don't know if
that
he'll
is
like
pretty
that
crazy,
not.
Isn't it?
Are they going to team up or are they against each other?
I think they're going to team up.
They otter.
They otter pop.
That's kind of like Freddy versus Jason. But it's not versus, it's teaming up.
Or like if Alien and Predator teamed up, who would they fight? Vin Diesel,
Sasquatch.
Yeah.
Alien and Predator versus Scam Squanch.
Who would win, Sasquatch or a moose?
Probably Sasquatch, because he has the ability to act and like a human. He can walk upright, and plus the fact that he's not real.
Maybe he's invisible like Michael Richards. You just don't see him waving his arms because you just don't care enough about him.
It depends on if the moose might have like maggots.
What if Sasquatches are like spirits and they just live on another realm? And we're just too...
Oh, kind of like Sean said about we just don't see it because our realm of seeing only goes from A to C, where the Sasquatch realm could be from negative A to C plus.
Yeah, and Sasquatch is on the F realm.
Fucking
we're a ways
for
away.
Sure.
We should draw out a list of all
F
the realms.
Words.
The Sasquatch one, there's the leprechaun one, the one where the leprechauns live.
I know there's a realm of death.
A realm of death?
Because there's a Judas Priest song called Beyond the Realm of Death.
Ooh, so there's a place beyond that.
Or the realms. I think it's plural, so there might be more than one realm of death.
Mm. That would make sense. Okay, well, there's the spiritual realm, and then the dead realm. And then...
Then there's the Walking Dead.
The unborn.
The zombie realm.
Yep.
Which, by the way, Walking Dead returns to television AMC...
Never.
October 13th, bro.
That's might as well be never.
Yeah, you're waiting for it, aren't you?
Breaking Bad. I'll be watching first.
Well, that's coming out before that. But speaking of maggots and eating brains, I got a cool story here about some flesh-eating maggots that were found in a woman's ear after she vacationed in South America.
Wow.
It's pretty
I think
awesome.
I have that in my ear.
I think so, too. I had a gnarly zit. I think I told you about it, but I didn't talk about it on the air, where it was inside my ear canal, at least a good quarter or a third of an inch, to where you couldn't get to it. It was like one of those nose zits that just, oh, so painful. But anyway, this
even
lady.
If you could get to it, it still hurt too much to even touch.
27-year-old Rochelle Harris said she experienced intense headaches upon arriving back in the UK from her trip to South America. She began experiencing piercing pain on one side of her face and hearing strange scratching sounds in her head. That was like when I had that moth caught in my ear. So after finding her pillow soaked in fluid one morning, she decided finally to go to the doctor to have the situation checked out. And after being referred to an ear, nose, and throat specialist, she found out the pains and noises came from maggots that were living inside of her ear.
Sometimes I hear things inside of my ear, and I go under this little spider or a cob.
The doctor just told her, "You've got maggots in your ear." And she instantly burst into tears.
Nose tears, too?
Yep,
probably.
Nose tears. And the emergency brain scan showed there was no damage to her eardrum or the blood vessels or the facial nerves. But, yeah, so they didn't get into her brain, luckily.
What were they eating on? She must have had a lot of wax.
They're flesh-eating. They were eating some of the flesh, I guess, but there was no damage to the eardrum.
The mastoid bone, I would imagine.
Doctor first tried to drown the larva by flooding the canal with olive oil, a tack that proved completely useless, as all of the maggots just survived.
Well, and they
love that shit, probably. Yeah. They're like, oh, great, that goes great with ear skin.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they were able to remove two maggots manually. However, further examination showed that there were 8 more bugs inside her ear, so she had 10 maggots in her ear.
That's a meal.
That's a 10-maggot meal.
Don't you think you should be able to just shake them out, though?
No, they're chomping down, so they're kind of, and they got those little suction cup feet,
oh, that's
too.
True, huh?
It's the New World screwworm fly that had gotten inside her ear while she was on vacation and laid eggs. What's a fucking screwworm fly?
I don't know, but if flies lay maggots.
But she said once she got the fly out of her ear, she didn't think anything more of it. Said no long-term consequences shall she suffer.
Wow. I have all sorts of ear problems still to this day. There's something in there. I gotta get it out of there.
I gotta get it out of it. But yeah.
Sometimes I just get freaky about it. I start taking pictures with my camera of the inside
of your ear,
trying to see what's in there. And it's like I can't see, and I stick the tweezers in there, and I can't get it.
Ooh, don't do that, dude.
I'm careful.
Yeah, that's what they all say.
I don't put them.
And then the next thing you're like.
I
can't hear out of my left ear.
How far in there it is, and then I obviously haven't grabbed anything, so I mean, I'm too careful.
Yeah,
I need to just go down somebody. I hear what'll work is I have a heating pad and sleep on the heating pad with your ear on it, and it'll
drain it out.
I thought about just steaming it, like sticking a funnel in my ear.
Stanley steamer, carpet, ear cleaner.
And then having some boiling water there. And like just steam it out.
Steam.
That'd be just like an ear candle, right?
Pretty much, but it creates more of a suction.
Yeah.
Because as the flame burns up, it creates a draw. It's trippy, dude, when you do that. It sounds and feels so weird.
I want to do it.
You should. You can get them at the health store, health food store, or whatever it is.
Fuck those places.
Well, you could probably get them at Walmart, too.
And the only place I shop is Pizza Now.
I don't think they have them there, bro.
They better.
Hey, remember we talked a while back about Doink the Clown dying?
Yeah.
They found out how. Why?
He got doinked.
Any guesses?
Heart problems from steroid use.
Toxic overdose of hydrocodone and morphine.
Really?
Pill popper. Well, hey, kids, don't take pills. He was 55. He was found dead June 28th at his girlfriend's home. Autopsy report quoted the medical examiner saying very high levels of opiates, morphine, and hydrocodone was a significant contributory factor to his death.
You have to imagine that a lot of... retired wrestlers are on that pair of medication because of just body
years of abuse
and aches and pains, you know, it'd be easy to get hooked into that lifestyle where you're just popping those pills just to keep the pain away. And then next thing you know, and you know, you're feeling sorry for yourself one day, and then you got the access, and then next thing you know.
I think a lot of them were accidental. I don't think that was a suicide. I think that was an accidental overdose. But
there are a lot of accidental
overdoses. They just get to taking them every day, and then they don't think that they're feeling them, and then they take more, and they're time released, and it's just...
Yep, or they take, you know,
it's a scary situation.
They drink a half a fifth of Jack and not realize what the effect will have or whatever.
Plus,
you know.
He had a heart disease, and he was 55 years old. Kids, you might be able to do that these days. But when you're 55... can't drink a bottle of Jack and take a bunch of pills and party all night, party all night, party all night. You're going to die.
Yeah.
Just like Doink the Clown. Our condolences go out to his family, and I'm kind of sad about it. You know, we're not trying to make light of the situation. I'm not. I'm just trying to say, don't do pills unless you really need to. Smoke some weed or get some tincture or some hemp extract of the CBC. It cures cancer. It helps you eat better. It calms down your epileptic fits.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
You hear about that lady that got recently brought back to Albany?
Albany, Oregon?
Yeah, for...
Extradited, you mean?
Yeah.
No? For what?
She did something. She ran away to Canada. It was like years ago. Like in the early 90s.
What was she running for?
She hit and ran, killed somebody.
I don't think I heard that.
Yeah, I can't remember. It was early 90s when it happened. I think it was. I'm trying to find some good keywords here that would bring up the story. But yeah, she got sentenced, I think, and. There it is. Suspect found after 16 years.
She came back or they found her?
I think she came back. A woman wanted for 16 years after allegedly killing someone while drunk driving on I-5 in 1997. 38-year-old Jean Therese Keating. Jean Keating, remember that name?
I don't.
Sideswiped another car. The driver ended up crashing and dying. While awaiting trial the next year, she ran, and she disappeared with her kids until earlier this year when a police officer in Canada got a tip that a woman at a bar was talking about getting away with a fatal drunk driving crash back in the States, and they found her in a town of about 2,500 people, and they extradited her back into the county, and they set her bail at $5 million. Because she's obviously known to be a threat of leaving the area
for sure.
And country.
Right, and staying gone for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's she would have been out by now.
Yeah, now she's just starting over.
Mm-hmm.
Hope she had fun while she was away.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she wanted to go raise her kids, you know? Sometimes.
Maybe. Is that like putting off a sentence? Is that so you can care for your kids?
I guess because she took her kids with her.
It'd be better to be with your kids from the time from 5 to 21.
And then leave
rather
them.
Than
I think
from
so.
Like 15 on.
Yep, I think the formative years are most important.
Yeah, so maybe a wise choice for that. If
that's why I'm hoping that our godson's mom gets her act together and
certainly.
She's getting out early. She'll be out on Friday, so Jaden is stoked. He gets to see his mommy. And, I think it's important for them to be there. And
certainly.
If that's why she did that, that's honorable. And then she's coming back to face the music.
Mm-hmm.
If she turned herself in. She turned herself in?
Well, no, I don't think so. No. I think she got caught because she was talking about getting away with it back in the States. And I think that, you know, 16 years, that's... Why would you even be talking about it at that point, you know? I guess you'd think that everything was in the clear. You know, you live
right
on the other side of the country above you. And, you know.
You think you could come back and everybody in positions that were in a position to be looking for you would be moved on and there'd be new people and they probably wouldn't be high profile. But, you know, when you kill someone, especially in drunk driving, you know, like a lady recently... in our circle of friends, Dana's friend Julie, that used to be roommates with Kim, her sister had a drunk driving manslaughter charge. And she was on the run for a while, probably wondering what she was going to do. And she finally got caught or turned herself in. And then as small of the world as it is, ended up being Jaden's mom's cellmate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So she'll probably have lots of stories about what this
That's lady. Another alternate world.
Yeah, for sure.
Prison.
Cellmates.
Yeah. There was another lady, oddly enough, she was looking for her mom after her mom disappeared or something, or that she was taken or something, but she has reconnected with her mom after 52 years.
Wow.
And she just hopes to be a part of her mom's life. She found her mom living in another country, I think, up in Canada, raising another family of her own.
It's pretty cool. That kind of happened to my, that's kind of like what happened to my mom. My stepmom recently met her daughter that she had never met for 51 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it seems crazy, though, because, I mean, how would you...
I think we talked about it.
How would you... it'd be really hard to connect, I think, at that point.
Yeah, what my stepmom and her daughter said, see, because her daughter, after 50 years of not knowing her mom, went to one of those agencies that help find missing relatives, and they found her. Donna had gotten some documents in the mail and didn't know what to make of them and didn't respond to them. And then finally they got her phone number and her daughter called her and she said, "Hi, this is your daughter."
You know, wow.
The one that you gave up for adoption when you were 16 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that they hit it off instantly on the phone and talked for over an hour the first time they ever spoke and never...
Well, I could imagine there would be that kind of a connection, I guess.
Never came to a spot where they felt awkward or like, what do I say?
Well, that's good.
You'd think that it would be that, you know, and in the news, local news...
Well, you think there would be, like, it would be hard not to have some sort of resentment. Not that it would be, like, that you should, but just, you know, I mean, you, not probably understanding the situation of what was going on at the time. You know, you'd have a lot of questions, it would seem like.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
Sure. But, you know, luckily they struck it off.
Heck yeah.
And then she comes up to visit, and they're extremely alike in a lot of ways, so it was really cool for them to meet and be so much alike and never ever have met each other for that many years. But pretty cool when stuff like that happens. I don't have anybody in my life that is missing that I could ever find, so I don't really, probably don't get the full scope of...
Well, kind of, though. You did, right?
Well, yeah, with my son. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose. So I mentioned on the cliffhanger on Wednesday's episode about Meat Creek.
Meat Creek?
You ever heard of Meat Creek?
Meat Creek. No, what is it?
That was a story that was sent to me by our constant listener, Carrie Davis.
And it's a creek of meat.
I guess. Now I'm just getting a picture. I thought that there was a story with it.
Creek meat.
Waiting
Why
for
do
it to
I
load
keep
here.
Going back to
Meat
Eagle
Creek.
Songs? Now I'm doing James Dean with Meat Creek. Meat Creek.
I don't know. I hope this is the story about it. Nope. I guess I should research. She said another story about the zombie organism created in a laboratory. The next time someone asks you if you've ever heard of a real-life zombie, smile and say yes.
I have.
A team of researchers out of New Mexico is reported to have created a popular media, what popular media calls zombie cells. These undead silica-based replicas are capable of performing many of the same functions as living cells, with the addition of extremely heightened resilience to both damage and heat. Tests show that once in place, these zombie cells have shown to retain their structures under extreme pressures and heat ranging up to 932 degrees Fahrenheit, which in our opinion is a lot for anything to withstand, let alone the living dead.
Yeah, it is.
Researcher Brian Kerr is quoted as stating, "Our zombie cells bridge chemistry and biology to create forms that not only near perfectly resemble their past selves, but can do future work as well. Does this mean that we're looking at a future full of undead organisms walking the earth in the form of human beings? Or is that too great of a leap in science fiction at this time? I believe it is. All we can do is watch and wait as research experiments develop, and it's anyone's guess.
As I learned in The Prophets of Science Fiction, which I watched on Netflix, you know, they're not really that far off. It's not really a matter of if, it's more a matter of when.
Right.
You know, you got Isaac Asimov, you know, as we talked about with the robots, you know, a lot of technology today comes from science fiction. You know, yeah. The ideas of telecommunication came from, like, science fiction.
Teleportation, they're probably still working on.
Teleportation, yeah. Time travel, and, you know, there obviously, you know, have been experimentations with that in the past. You know, all sorts of stuff. War of the Worlds and Martians and aliens and going to space.
Yep.
You know, space travel, all of that.
Martian Mickey.
Mm-hmm. Martian.
You know Martian Mickey, Mickey Mouse.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, what's the other one? Marvin the Martian.
Marvin the Martian. Mm-hmm. There's cartoons in space.
Yep, and Starvin' Marvin.
In space.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Wasn't there? There were some space creatures on South Park, wasn't there? Wasn't that where they were from when Starvin' Marvin took off on a spaceship?
No, right? But there was the one aliens from when Earth was a reality show, and they took pictures of those executives, and he's like, they were doing coke and stuff, and he's like, I can't believe you had my bleak block in your blorka bark, or whatever, you know, because they had different words. Are you sticking your bling bling in my blacker blark? I can't remember what those aren't the correct terms, but it's something of that sort.
I looked up Meat Creek and I didn't find anything.
It was just a picture, and I thought it was
a story.
Even
looked at the pictures.
So Meat Creek, thanks Carrie for that funny picture, and it just said LMAO, which obviously
L-M-A-O.
She was laughing my ass off. How do you do that from clear across the states? You laughed my ass off. Hey, did you hear about, you know, Tommy Chong's daughter, Ray Dong Chong?
Ray Dong Chong? She was in that one movie.
The Quest for Fire.
No, the other one.
She was in Quest for Fire, too.
The one with Tommy Chong in it and Dr. Lytle Dick. It was, I think that was Martin Mull.
Hey, where's my bong?
No. Something like that. No, it was called Morning Hippie, something like that. It was... early 90s, but it had Martin Mull, and he was real uptight, Dr. Lytle Dick, but how it was spilt, they kept calling him Little Dick.
Yeah. I like his character in Arrested Development.
Yeah, it's very, you know, it's very character-driven.
What is it? His name is so like funny.
Lytle Dick.
In Arrested Development. Private Investigator is a funny name, like an Italian word or something like that. God, I can't remember it. I know. It's right there. Fettuccine. Anyway, Ray Dong Chong, daughter of Tommy Chong, who is mixed race. She is a part Chong, which is half Chinese.
And part Cheech.
And part black. She's half black.
Uh-huh.
So she recently got in trouble and regrets the fact that she called Oprah a nigger on a radio show recently.
Did she say, she's my nigger?
No, but she did later say that she meant her use of the N-word to be a compliment to Winfrey, but she doesn't know how to explain it. And that she regrets using the word.
Did Oprah take it as a compliment?
I don't think so. She said she meant it as a compliment when she called Oprah Winfrey the N-word during a recent radio show. The actress said she got along well with Winfrey when the two starred in The Color Purple, a film about black life in the 30s, but she said Winfrey became a total biatch afterward when Ray Dong Chong got a part in the Arnold Schwarzenegger action picture Commando. In an appearance on Matty P's Radio Happy Hour, an internet radio show, Chong said that Winfrey just wasn't having me. She was competitive and she didn't like me. And then she went on a rant about the talk show host's appearance. And she said, if you look at it the way Winfrey looks at it, she looks like 60 years ago, she would have been a housekeeper. Luckily, she would have not been a house nigger. She would have been a field nigger. That was the quote.
Might be true.
She wouldn't have been a house nigger. She would have been a field nigger.
She would have
nigger.
Been out in the field, probably. Because they kept the best looking ones in the house, right? So that they could
of
have
course,
sex with them.
Of course.
And that they would maintain their
we
beauty.
Learned a little about that during the Django Unchained house N-words and field N-words. Which, you know, I hope I didn't offend anybody by using the N-word, but I was simply quoting a half N-word that was saying the N-word, and I'm totally not an N-word, but I'm white. I'm the W-word. What's up?
Have you tried that?
Oh, yeah, it works well. Yeah, I did it. I've done it every time.
Really?
It's my new opener.
Really?
If people laugh. They are hard to convince that that will be the new thing coming back, but I go, just mark my words. You might not believe me right now, but by the end of the night, you're going to be saying, what's up? And if you're not, you're going to tell your friends that you saw some idiot down at the wetlands saying, this is the new thing. It's coming back. What's up? And they're like, and while they're still chuckling, I go, you guys know what's not coming back? And then I'm like, Jesus! And they're like, and I was like, well,
you should throw more, maybe just like a Jesus.
It used to be. That's what it used to be, because my bit before was what's coming back is word. Mm-hmm. Word. Mark my word. Word. And then what's not coming back, because that's not really even funny.
Yeah. See, well, what I would do is I would bring in the what's up and then go in the that's bringing that back, and then I'd go, you know, it's not coming back. Jesus. And
what's
up? Yeah, and then do the what's up when they start groaning. Then bring them back with the what's up and to then, get them back laughing. And then they totally forget about
Jesus. And then I'll say, I was just kidding about the Jesus. I'm a comedian, you know, but he's really not coming back. Word to your
and
mother.
Then
and then
go,
I say word to your mother immediately after
that. And then they'll go, and they'll go, what's up again for the third time.
Maybe. And then after that, I'll say word to your mother because I get a great reaction of a surprise usually from people when I do the word to your mother thing because I say...
People like to get shout-outs for their moms.
Right, but then I say when people used to come up to me and say that, I always returned it with a sentence to your father.
Mm-hmm.
And they giggle at that initially because that's just an opposite weird thing to say. And then when I say because I assumed their dad was probably in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, so that's like, it's like a 1-2 jab.
Did anybody ever come back at you with a paragraph, though?
No.
Like, you got word to your
paragraph
mother.
Paragraph to your stepdad.
Yep. Paragraph to your sister.
Or,
Okay,
how about letter to your mom?
Yep.
Letter to your dad.
Yeah. Or novel to your bro.
Letter to your son.
Yep.
Word. See, and word is supposed to be like the gospel, the truth.
Dictionary.
Word. We're like, word, bro. That means you're solid. It's the truth. And it's so true, I'd bet my mom on it. Word to your mother. And I can do that because my mom's dead.
Oh.
Hi-yo! Oh, sorry.
Hey-yo, wow.
Malicious fecal distribution. Hey, and by the way, in case y'all forgot, we are one sponsor short of a full deck. So if you guys got a business or an internet website, something that you would like to have promoted on a tri-weekly basis, like not once every 3 weeks, but three times a week, we can set you up, you know, because we got pizza now.
Set you up.
But we can't.
Bring your dad.
We can't pay our internet fees with pizza.
Is that Wham song I was going with?
Yeah, but you, instead of saying wake me up before you go, you said something totally different.
Yeah, I said bring you up. I didn't know what song it was when I was doing it, but then I was like, wait a minute, that melody is. Oh.
Part-time sponsor for today only, TagCast, not podcast, Terry and Gad's comedy show today is brought to you by Country Charm Indoor Outhouses. All the convenience of an indoor bathroom with all the charm of crapping through a wooden hole. Country Charm Indoor Outhouses at countrycharm.com. Check them out. Also, Brownana banana toasters for perfectly toasted bananas the first time, not every time. Hey, nice banana. Brownana banana toasters. Shitters.com.
And also by the Glory Hole Shitters.
The walls have holes.
It's a urinal that you shit in, and you put it between, you know, the other walls close to you.
I had a friend named Al when I was a kid, and I wish I would have been smart enough to call him Urinal. Especially if he was one of those kids that really smelled like pee.
Maybe you should call people an owl.
What's up, Urinal?
You're an owl.
No, you are.
Quit being an owl. You're an owl.
You're an L.
Yep.
I'm an M. Have you ever heard of British comedian Mel Smith?
No. That's pretty close to Will Smith.
It is, but it's whether you have a lisp, you say well.
Yeah.
Mel Smith.
Uh-huh.
Will Smith. Mel Smith is an English, well, British comedian, writer, director. He's died.
Whoa!
At the age of 60.
Oh, man.
He first gained fame in Not the 9 O'Clock News, which ran on BBC Two from 79 to 82. And
wait a minute.
What?
What was it called?
Not the 9 O'Clock News.
What time was it on?
9 O'Clock.
What? That's not right.
It ran in the same time slot as the 9 O'Clock News on BBC One. So it was on at 9 o'clock, but it was not the 9 o'clock news because the 9 o'clock news was actually on BBC One, and this was on BBC Two.
Back when they had two channels.
This brought Smith together with his future writing and comedy partner, Rhys Jones and Rowan Atkinson.
Ah!
The Bean.
Yeah.
And I believe Rhys also went on to be in Flight of the Conchords.
Could you imagine sitting in a room writing with Mr. Bean? With Rowan Atkinson.
No.
He's like, look, check this out. This is going to be funny. Just let me do this. Write this in.
Are you sure? Are you sure it's going to be funny?
And you're like, I don't know. It's not really coming across. But the kids might like it.
The Bean. I don't know. I don't even know how he talks or what the Bean is, but.
No, Mr. Bean.
I know who he is.
You just call him the Bean.
The Bean. He's a bean, Mr. Bean. I don't know what his deal is.
Silent comedy.
He doesn't talk?
No, he doesn't. I think he kind of grunts and shit like that. But
a lot of that kind of stuff. Facial expressions and walking.
Exactly. School and mouth noises.
The hall of strange walks.
There's a new Charlie Chaplin, but it's dry because it's English humor, though, you know? And so it's on the drier side. But there are some pretty ridiculous things that I've seen in just a couple episodes that are, I don't know, beyond. But they tend to have a longer attention span in their comedy. You notice that?
Yeah.
Particularly in, like, Python and in some of the, like, philosopher skits. Like that philosopher soccer match. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Where it's like, all right, and welcome everybody to the 12th Annual Philosophers. And it's just a bunch of philosophers standing on the field, and they can't go and kick the ball until they find some profound thought. And it's like, oh, Einstein comes up with a... blah, 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 and then he goes and kicks the ball. And then you got Karl Marx on the other side, and he comes up with a thought and goes and kicks it. And it's weird.
It sounds weird.
Yeah. And it's like a 5 or 6 minute sketch, so it's totally like... Please end.
Yeah, it's like a Saturday Night Live sketch that doesn't have an ending. Mm-hmm. Could you end this sketch already? All right, well, in case you're not a business who wants to sponsor us, maybe you got a buck in your PayPal from some survey you did or something. Click on our donate icon. It's on tagcastpodcast.com. We want to keep ourselves at least go until 200 episodes. We're going to go forever. We don't want to tell you that we'd pay for it ourselves if we have to, but come on, give us a dollar, 50 cents, anything.
Yeah, if every listener gave us a dollar, we'd be set.
Yeah, for at least a month.
Yeah.
And then maybe we could go out and party one night, too. At least we're not like some other podcasts in the area who have a fun to all use our names instead as not to out anybody. Send Gatch and Terry to Vegas. Just click on the icon anytime you get an extra buck. Give us, and once we get enough, we're going to go to Vegas.
Dude, I want to do that.
Well, we'll put one on the site then.
All right.
Okay, then I'm stealing the idea from the Big and Loud podcast, which I try to listen to every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as anyone. I miss a few episodes here and there, but send Terry and Gatch to Vegas. It just happened, just right now. We're starting right now on episode 521. So send us to Vegas.
Hey, I got a little something to discuss with you.
It's got to be enough money to fly us there and get a hooker and a hotel so we can interview said hooker for our show. We're not going to have sex with
her. And $5 for the ATM fee.
Exactly. All right, what do you got?
You know how many summer movies are formulaic?
All of them?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that was a question or posing a...
Well,
do I know?
Yeah.
Do I know how many?
Well,
or
I know
do
that
I know,
you know.
Okay.
That most many blockbusters follow a certain formula
for sure.
But it's not just deja vu, and I didn't know this. And I think we both read that book from Tom Lennon.
I still have that. Yeah. I need to return it to you.
That's fine. Whenever. But there's another book out there, and this one is called Save the Cat.
All right.
The last book on screenwriting you'll ever need. And in this book, a successful script writer who became an influential screenplay guru provides the basic three-act structure that has dominated blockbuster filmmaking since the 70s. An explosion ripped through Hollywood when he first published it in 2005. And it's not a broad overview of a screen story and how it fits together. He breaks down the three-act structure into detailed beat sheets.
Beat sheets?
15 key story beats, pivotal events that have to happen, and then gave each of those beats a name and a screenplay page number that they should happen on.
Now, there's a lot of that going on in that Tom Lennon book, too, about where things should happen in the script.
Yep, and with each page usually equal to a minute, you want this beat to hit here. You have to have good pacing in a film, you know.
Yep.
And so it's basically a minute-by-minute formula of how to script out a blockbuster-style Hollywood movie.
And people might think that that can't be and that that's not true, but... statistics show that it is certainly obviously true, because every blockbuster that probably not, there's probably a few flukes that slip through that either don't achieve blockbuster status because of a bad weekend or a show that just, say, like Blair Witch Project, that just blows up because of cult status
or because of an actor in an independent role or something like that. But yeah, he died in 2009, and he said that he did not write the book to be a formula, but he wanted to put out time-tested screen story principles, not a fill-in-the-blank method of screenwriting, but more just to get you primed on how to get into that thing. But it's not really turning out that way. A lot of people, I mean, if it's a page-by-page formula that's proven to work, why wouldn't you use
go
it? It's like... it's like Einstein trying to take away the atomic bomb.
Yeah. Somewhat.
Yeah.
I recently read a fact that said that a guy who wrote a book on how to raise geniuses, after he published the book, him and his wife had three kids. All three of them grew up to be chess grandmasters, and one was the first female chess grandmaster to defeat a male top-ranked player.
Wow.
And he had just written a book on how to raise three geniuses. Or on how to raise geniuses, and he raised three of them.
Hmm.
So, you know, you might want to pay attention to these novels by people who've been there and done that and know what they're doing and are trying to impart their wisdom onto you.
You know what that reminds me of is The Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, man, I need to rewatch that. That's such a hilarious movie.
It is.
That's
it
good
is.
Stuff. I didn't appreciate it as much as I should when it first came out, but then
I didn't either.
No, and then after I watched it again as more of an adult thinking person, because I was an adult when it came out physically.
But you see, I saw the actors on there and the Wes Anderson, which he had done a movie before that I had liked and that had just blown up. I think that had shot him into the star, and then this one, and I saw Hackman and Stiller and all those great actors. I knew it had to be a great movie, so I bought it like the day it came out, just because I happened to be at the store and money burning a hole in my pocket. Got home, and I didn't think it was that much. I thought it was kind of lackluster and slow.
Right.
But then I'd watch it again, you know, just want to watch it again. And then I would, and it'd be like, man, such great building of characters.
Faux show.
You know, and just the way that a key trick, I think, in writing is the ability to take selfish characters such as Gene Hackman in that and make him likable to the audience.
Right, right.
You know, that you have to make him relatable in a likable way, but also as that person that we all know that, you know, is that way too.
Yep. It's tough, I'm sure, but the people who do it good know how to do it. I'd like to check that book out from the library.
What's in Hans' CD?
I almost forgot about this.
What's in Hans' CD?
I wasn't going to roll no Black Sabbath.
What's in Hans' CD player?
So we're doing this.
We're going to find out today.
Whoop.
What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD player? What's in Hans' CD player?
We're going to find out right now. Didn't roll the Sabbath because he's rolling the Sabbath.
Oh.
He's listening to Black Sabbath Sabotage.
Bow. Sabotage.
Sabotage with a B.
Okay, which album is that?
It has lots of good songs on it. Let me think. It's got the picture of them on the front, and they're standing in front of a mirror. Four of them.
What is this? After four, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah. It's after Sabbath Bloody Sabbath, too, I believe.
Sabbath Bloody Sabbath!
Sabotage had Symptom of the Universe, I believe,
oh,
was
man.
On that song.
Beautiful song.
Or on that album. And a bunch of other great tunes. There was probably a couple clunkers because they were kind of headed down,
I think.
A little bit, but.
Certainly.
Still good, though. And in my media device, I don't know if it's a cassette or a CD. I can't remember what it was, but I was listening to Sepultura, Arise, their 1991 release before they really broke big with Chaos AD. Great album. I love it because it has like a subpar production. It's a little bit more underground sounding and hardcore. And Arise, Sepultura.
You think Sepultura played a role in metal of a harder edge getting on the radio?
I think so, especially with when once Roots came out and then his switch over to Soulfly, at least like satellite radio.
Yeah, and the Chaos AD, I mean, also, not that they had more success radio-wise than the one song, but like Prong was around that time, you know, and it was all in the Pantera time, that kind of stuff. I think Pantera opened a few doors
White Zombie.
For bands of those era, you know, Sepultura was right in there. Along with Obituary had that one that was pretty popular at that time, too, didn't they?
I don't know if they got any radio play.
I don't think they got any radio play, but a lot of people, I think, picked up on them just from the Sepultura.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe. Maybe because they were similar logos, maybe, or kind
of. Yep. Cause of Death was their big.
That's it.
Yep, that's the one.
Yeah.
We covered that on a previous episode. If y'all are interested, go back and listen to all of our previous episodes. It's Friday night. Stick around after the plugs. Oh, wait. After the plugs, yeah, stick around.
Yeah.
But after the show, stick around so you can listen to the plugs. And then you can stick around after the plugs for the show that's after the plugs. Because you can go to dudeschillin.com and just listen to it all day, all night. And you can also hear like the podcast cast with Seth Milstein, which we are on the recent episode. Episode 27, check that out with
I will
Terry
check that
Gatch.
Out. From the local library along with some power tools.
Weird being a... listening to a show that you were on that's been so long ago that you don't really remember what you said.
Yeah. That's what it's going to be like, too, when that video finally comes out.
Oh, man. I got to talk to Chris about that. I didn't get to talk to him. He was too angry the other night. But
you should have told him you were angry.
I am.
You should have turned the anger tables. You should have said...
You want to see angry?
Yeah, you should have said, you see me sitting in this angry chair?
I fucking burnt my leg up, and you didn't even make the video available.
Yeah.
Fucking God damn it.
I know, that was Comet Gold.
That is, it's still going to be. I think that's why the anticipation is just going to be so hardcore. Hopefully the hype doesn't overshadow the quality of the fucking video like Napoleon Dynamite.
You can't spell hype without hello.
What? You can't spell hype without Y.
That's true.
Or P. Or
Wire.
E.
You didn't watch that whole 5-season series between now and last week.
I haven't found one episode either. That's just like saying, hey, did you listen to those last 170 episodes of the TagCast podcast? I'm going to have a trouble sometime not saying that anymore.
No, it's fine. Especially when website, we hear this word. Though, so it's fine.
TagCastPodcast.com. Yeah. It's a Terry and Gash comedy show available at TagCastPodcast.com. Because the tag stands for Terry and Gash.
Yeah.
Duh. It's like Cheech and Chong, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Cheech and he's Chong.
And also was our favorite meal, tacos and chowder.
It is?
No.
How about...
That wouldn't go together very well.
Our podcast is the meat and potatoes of podcasts.
It is.
And Tom Topic is the dessert. Mm. Check out Tom Topics. Yeah. Hot Topics with Tom Topic. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Facebook.
93 countries.
Iceland, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
We came for you. We're melting the snow with our semen. We'll see you guys on Monday.
Yep. Rock on.
In middle. Up your asses. God, I'm sweaty.
Sweaty.
Hey, you ever fucked a plug? No, really. Hey, all you taggots. I know it's hot out, so you should go to some of these air-conditioned places. And plus, it's nighttime, so you're cooled off. Every Friday, comedy at the Baghdad for a couple more months with your host, Tristian Spillman, and some of the best Portland comics, as well as, you know, people from out of Portland, like myself and others. Every second Friday, it's pantsless comedy. It's so hot, we got to keep our pants off with your host, Mike McGowan. That's a cornucopia in Eugene. And I've been informed that comedy as advertised at the Granary is in transition to become not every last Thursday, but a Saturday night show, so we'll have details for that coming soon. July 25th, Norm MacDonald at Cuthbert Amphitheater. Did I say cunt? Cuthbert Amphitheater. I still don't know much about that show, but if you love Norm, check it out. July 30th, Gigantour with Megadeth, Black Label Society, Device, Newstead, and Hell Yeah! Don't like those guys as much as I like Fuck No... Comcast Arena in Everett, Washington. Yeah, July 30th. August 2nd, Witch Mountain and Blue Oyster Cult at the Benton County Fairgrounds for the Benton County Fair. It's in Corvallis, August 2nd. August 5th, The Sword, Castle, and American Sharks at Hawthorne Theater in Portland. August 8th, it's Doug Benson at the Grand Theater in Salem. Contact Raven's Eye Productions for ticket info. August 8th, it's Foghat at River Rhythms in Albany, right here at the Monteith Park Free Fog Hat Show. Someone was just bragging about the Kansas show the other night. I guess it was pretty good last Thursday. So. Also, August 8th through 11th at the Northwestern Black Circle 5 at Bronx in Portland with Witch Haven, Ex Mortis, and Satan's Host the first night. The big names for Friday night's show is Poison Idea, Insanity, and Coven. Friday, you got Ghoul, Gravehill, and Drawn, and Quartered. And then the Sunday night show features Vaughn, Toxic Holocaust, and Ceremonial Castings. That's August 8th through 11th. Tickets are $14 in advance per day, or $16 at the door, or you can get a four-day pass for $52. That's at Bronx in Portland. August 20th, it's Melvin's and Honky at the Wonder Ballroom. That's in Portland, too. August 24th, Black Sabbath at the Gorge Amphitheater. That's up in George, Washington. August 30th, comedy at the Baghdad with myself and six other comics. This will be my final appearance at the Baghdad Theater, and I'm sad to say they won't be doing comedy anymore there. Their last show, I believe, is like September 18th or somewhere around there. So September 8th, it's the Uproar Fest with Alice in Chains and Jane's Addiction and many more. Help 30-pound test get on to that bill by going to, I don't know, go to their website, 30poundtest.com. Sure, it'll give you information on how to go to the website to vote for them. That's September 8th at the Sleep County Amphitheater. Michael Fronte and Spearhead, October 8th at the McDonald Theater in Eugene. Recently saw him roaming around out there at the dang old country fair with his entourage. A couple other good metal shows coming up in October. Diamond Head and Raven at the Hawthorne Theater, and October 13th, Creator and Overkill, also at Hawthorne. Almost forgot about this. September, Friday the 13th. September the 13th on a Friday. It's the Comedy Extravaganza at Tiny Tavern, put on by Mac Chase. I will be either featuring or possibly headlining that show. Max Brockman and myself will be performing, as well as some other Eugene area comics. That's on 4th and Blair in Eugene. So check out all those shows. Go do something fun, you guys. Come back and tune into the TagCast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com. It's the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. Get it right. It's on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere.